The writer and teacher Frank Conroy died yesterday at the age of 69 of colon cancer. For 18 years, he directed the Writer's Workshop at the University of Iowa, where he helped shape the early work of some now important writers. He also wrote a 1967 memoir called Stop Time that is now considered a classic. In Conroy's New York Times obituary today, Charles McGraw described Stop Time as a lucid and evocative memoir that has been a model for countless young writers, the sort of book that is passed along like a trade secret. But after Stop Time, Conroy's life fell apart. It wasn't until 18 years later that he completed his second book, a collection of short stories called Mid-Air. I spoke with Conroy in 1993, after the publication of his novel Body and Soul, the story of a young music prodigy who lives in poverty but finds a wonderful, dedicated teacher and goes on to become a great musician. I asked Frank Conroy if there were any parallels between him and his character.
I've played the piano all my life. In fact, I played professionally as a jazz pianist for about 5 years, and sort of Bush League for another 5 years. I play jazz, and I don't. The hero of this book is a prodigy and is a very, very good pianist. I'm a competent jazz pianist. I didn't have a teacher. In a way, that's probably, you know, that every novel contains fantasies, I think, and this one. Fantasies about teachers and father figures. And I didn't have a father. I didn't have a teacher. But Claude does, you see.
Well, your father left the family when you were about three or something.
That's right. He was a manic depressive, so he was institutionalized most of the time. They didn't have lithium in those days.
And what about not having a piano teacher? What was the reason for that?
There was a boarder in our apartment who was a professional musician, and there was an attempt at him giving me some lessons, but he was a sadistic psychopath, and it turned me off very rapidly, the whole idea of piano lessons. You know, he used to squeeze my neck with his fingers, and say, he was nuts. But so I went back, and I learned very slowly. At first I learned the blues, Boogie Woogie, which I picked up, off the radio from Harlem uptown. And I just stuck with it. In the writing of this book, I had to go back and really re-educate myself about music from the beginning on. And I had to learn some new stuff, some stuff that I didn't know. The 12th tone, in particular, was a challenge.
It's funny, coming out of a background where you had no father figure and no teacher, you kind of went on to, among other things, become a very well-known teacher as the head of the writers program at the University of Iowa.
Yes, and I also have three sons.
We're listening to a 1993 interview with writer Frank Conroy. He died yesterday. Conroy's influential memoir, Stop Time, was published in 1967, but it was 18 years before his next book was published. I'm sure you've been asked this a lot, but what happened in the interim?
A certain amount of trouble in my life, a sort of serious trouble. The end of my first marriage, I had to leave my two kids, which was difficult for me because, my father left. My mother died a very long, slow process, and there was really nobody else to look after her except me, and that was very draining. And it was a difficult time. Also, I didn't have any money, and I'd spent so many years writing. I really didn't have the training to do any kind of ordinary job, so it was tough. It was a tough time.
What was it like for you to be looking after your mother? From your memoir, Stop Time, you'd get the feeling your mother didn't always do such a good job looking after you.
That's true. I hope I did a better job, but you know, I mean, good heavens! I mean, the woman was dying. I mean, and I had to. I went to the first of all, getting her into a hospital was hard. Then she was in, then she was out, and then I took her back in the last time. If you've read my story, Midair, there's a story in there where it's autobiographical, and it's one of these things. It really happened, but it's one of those things you can't put into a story because it's too convenient. I was driving her to the hospital for what I knew would be the last time, down the Merritt Parkway from Connecticut into New York. And we had both been so preoccupied with this that we forgot. And as we were driving along, suddenly it got dark, and everything changed in the exterior world. It's because there was an eclipse of the sun, you know? Mm-hmm. And that actually happened. So I put it in the story.
Boy, that is the kind of thing I think you might have been afraid to put in the story because it seems like it's too much the metaphor.
Yes, but it happened. I mean, not that that's really any defense. You know, students will often say that to me, but it happened, you know. And I say, well, I don't care if it happened. It isn't any good. But there, I just couldn't stop myself from doing it. I put it in and I thought it worked.
Frank Conroy, recorded in 1993. He died yesterday at the age of 69.
Your father was a drinker, and you went through a period when you were drinking a lot too. Did that make it even worse? Did you have this fear of that you were picking up some of the habits of a man who you barely knew?
Well, I don't think I felt I was picking up his. I mean, whatever sins or stupid things or self-destructive things I was doing were really not modeled after anyone. They were. I found them myself, you know. But yes, indeed. I mean, it's funny. I've noticed this about a lot of artists. They have a very peculiar relationship to their body, as if it's just some old suitcase you have to lug around with you, some old battered up suitcase. And so there's a, you know, and I certainly had that. I mean, I didn't take care of myself, and I drank too much. I smoked a lot. I finally stopped smoking. But, you know, yes, I didn't help matters, I think, by the various methods that I used to escape the depression and the confusion that I felt.
Well, I really like your description about how a lot of artists see their body. Yes.
Yeah, it's, well, we live in our heads so much,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
The important stuff really takes place in some kind of hyperspace inside the brain or inside the imagination. And I know a number of Marilyn Robinson, I was talking to her. It turns out that, you know, I write in bed. I always have, ever since the beginning. I put up pillows behind my back, and, you know, I put the legal pad across my knees and write. And it's funny. I mean, I really need to do that. And I found out that Marilyn also writes in bed. And we were laughing about it because what we're trying to do, of course, is sort of deny the existence of our bodies at all. You know, you get in bed.
Right.
As if, you know...
As if it's time to dream and just, like, lose consciousness.
Yes, and, you know, you do everything to sort of minimize your physical awareness of your body while you enter the dream of the work, you know, and you're concentrating very intensely. And, you see pictures and you hear sounds and smells and you're doing all of this. And your body seems to have nothing to do with it.
Well, did that ever change for you? Did you ever get to feel that... you had to take care of your body and kind of,
sure it did,
be a part of your physical self and all.
Yeah,
of
sure
that.
It did.
What brought you around on that?
Well, a couple of things. One, I went too far, and so I finally woke up that, hey, Frank, you know, I said to myself, this is crazy. You know, you better stop this stuff. So there was that, and then there was the birth of my third child, who is 6 years old, and that changes things. And advancing age, you know, I'm 57. So I stopped smoking. I didn't stop drinking. I still drink a little bit in the evening, maybe a little bit too much sometimes, but it's very much under control, and I live a very stabilized life and have for quite a while.
Your memoir, Stop Time, begins and ends with you in a Jaguar driving very fast from London to about 20 miles south of the city where you lived.
Yes.
And the prologue is about the release of that drive, the release of driving really fast in a sports car.
Yeah.
The epilogue is the car crash, where you nearly get killed and you're miraculously saved because the car nearly gets wrapped around a fountain.
Yes. That was prophetic, wasn't it?
What do you mean?
I mean, in Stop Time, that's a warning. And in a sense, maybe I was warning myself, because it wasn't a car in a particular fountain, but, I was living pretty dangerously later. And I was lucky to get out unscathed.
Do you still vividly remember the moment of the crash?
No, I was pretty drunk. it was late. I remember more what I was thinking than I have an actual sense memory of the event. You know, I remember more what I was thinking, which is that I was really, it seemed to me that, you know, I could die. I mean, I remembered. It was interesting because it didn't particularly frighten me.
You think that's because you were drunk?
No, it happened to me later when I was sober. I had at one point about 10 years ago, I had a hemorrhaging duodenal ulcer, and I went to the hospital real fast, and the doctor told me later that I had 15 minutes, you know, I had tops. If it had been 15 minutes longer, I would have been DOA. But I knew when I was in that emergency room, when you see that there are 9 people around you and every one of them is doing something, you know that you're in trouble. And, of course, I was bleeding. I was hemorrhaging. There was blood all over the emergency room. And I knew I could die right then. And I didn't feel frightened. And that time I was certainly quite sober. I didn't feel frightened. I felt like, what a shame. I mean, this is too early. I've got stuff to do.
Frank Conroy, recorded in 1993. He died yesterday of colon cancer. He was 69.